special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today, let me check the chat room here before I get going. I can remember how things work. Say good morning to Blessed, Wacky, and Far Out, and in the studio there. And if you're listening live, come on over. Okay, on to what are we going to talk about today? Thank you, Blessed, for that. Let's see. I had Michael, who's probably listening live on his Prophecy Reality app, or I should say our Prophecy Reality app. Okay, well, this is my last show for the summer, it being the very end of August, so a little more impromptu during the summer, and not really having an agenda or a topic, but I'm going to get back with it now that that our regular year broadcasts are starting up with September. So I hope everyone's had a wonderful summer out there. Finally getting down into the 60s at night here, which is a nice cool relief for us in the Central Valley of California. I live on the edge of the Central Valley in the foothills here, but it is very hot. Not today though. It's we're only getting up into the lower to mid 90s now. See, to us that's cool. Where it might be hot somewhere else, so it's actually a relief. Okay. Well, let's see. They keep changing the way these inboxes work. Okay. Nope, that's not the right one. I'll get these articles up here. Well, anyway, I've got a few headlines. I don't know what is going on here. Nothing is working right this morning, but we like it anyway. Here we go. I finally found it. And Michael sent me some news articles a while ago. I guess it was before last week's non-broadcast. So here we are catching up. And here's an interesting article from Michael Snyder. He says, the rich are getting rich and the poor are getting poorer. As well as the wealthy flock to the major cities on both coasts, poverty and suicide soar in rural areas. Well, I'm in a rural area, and I guess if you're not walking with Christ and you don't have the peace that passes all understanding, you might want to blow your brains out. Yeah. Not a good idea, though. You know, it'd be better to repent and not worry. Me, I've learned to live on very little, because I have to tell you, the giving for First Amendment Radio and the work that I'm doing here has taken quite a nosedive since the first of the year. But I'm gonna chalk that up to the way things are. And I think if the Almighty is has enough of his people support me, that I can keep on doing the work that I've been doing, that he's called me to do, then it's my job to just keep doing it regardless of the financial situation. But I've learned over many years to live on very little, so we just tighten our belts a little bit more and we live on very little. But it's kind of a funny article here, this one, and I'll put it on the screen for you. And but as the wealthy flock to major cities on both coasts, poverty and suicide soar in rural areas. Now, you know, I like the coast, and I visited there once in a while, and I think the ocean actually smells kind of fishy. I don't know if anybody agrees with me on that one. Let's see. Yeah, everything looks like it's working good. Give me a sound check there in the chat room, and I'd appreciate that for anybody who's there. So, I would never flock to the major cities. I think this is the time for God's people to flock to the country. So, people are leaving the rural areas. Well, I guess that would mean that prices in the rural areas might be going down as far as real estate is concerned. So, you might want to sell your home in the city and move to a rural area. Take advantage of this this shift in population and where people are living as the wealthy flock to major cities. Because I think there is some kind of disaster or a major financial retreat, which I don't know. It seems like we're up. It's just there's this the rich, and there's a seems to be more of a dividing line between those the haves and the have-nots. It's like the middle class is just erasing, and you're either on one side of the line or you're not. Unless you work for the government, okay, then you're middle class. That's all that's left in of the middle class is those that work for the government, I guess. All of those privileged people that get to work off the backs of all the rest of the working people out there who are being taxed to death so they can earn twice, 2 to 3 times as much for the same type of work as they would make in the private sector. Yes, indeed. And I don't know, the way I feel about it, like school teachers, if you're Christian, you shouldn't be a school teacher working in the public school system. Because, well, first of all, you're participating in teaching and perverting the minds of children with the way the agenda's going in public schools, and it actually has been going that way for years. It's just they're getting more blatant about it now. I mean, hey, we're going to teach your children to be gender confused or to change their sexuality from what they were born with. You know, I mean, when you're born in a hospital, the doctor takes one look and he declares whether you're a female or a male. You know, that's that much, you know, common sense. I mean, it does take a rocket scientist to figure out what the child is. But we're going to confuse them later on. Well, you want to be something you're not. You know, if you're a little boy and you want to be a girl, well, that's okay, you know, whatever. And they start teaching this nonsense to little children who would never even think about these things, you know. I mean, boys and girls played together. It didn't mean that they were gender confused because, you know, girls did boy things and played with cars maybe or whatever. Or boys in the same household played dollhouse with their sisters. I mean, you know, it didn't mean you were gender confused. It just meant you were a child. That's all. But it's really messing with the minds of these little children. And so public school teachers should, you know, it would just make sense if all the public school teachers quit their jobs and then started opening up Christian schools. Or, you know, tutoring for homeschooled students. And say, you know, a dozen families or 30 families in a church could get together and pay for one tutor to go around and tutor all their children. You know, one or 2 days a week or something. I mean, there would have to be some way that, these so-called Christian teachers could work in God's kingdom. And, oh, well, yeah, see, they'd have to put up with, things like me not having a set amount of money, you know, like whatever, $80,000 a year coming in, plus, you know, pagan witch doctor benefits in the health system. So, I mean, honestly, you know, I haven't seen a doctor since my mid-20s. Yeah. So that's been like over 40 years. And last time I went to a doctor, I had a sinus infection. Well, after that little visit, I learned how to not get sinus infections. I thought, I can't allow this to happen again. And the only time I saw a doctor before that was when I was a child for occasional health checkups. But basically, I just haven't been to a doctor. Haven't had any calls go to a doctor. Because, well, I've done my best to take care of my own health and live by God's word and even follow the dietary laws. If that's what it takes, that's what I'm going to do. And I supplement and I try not to eat foods that God didn't create, but I try to eat the foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who know and believe the truth. So, you know, God's word has a lot of information in there if you're willing to ferret it out and live by His Word, I think you can live a happy and a healthy life without doctors. Now, dentists, a little help with my teeth. I do see the dentist regularly because I'm trying to keep my teeth until God retires me, okay? And then I get all new teeth. Yeah, that'll be great. Looking forward to that. Let's see. All right. Sounds good here. Thank you for that, Blessed. And Carrie Ann has joined us in the room, and Dale, and a few other people there in the chat room. So thank you for coming in. Like I said, this is just a suburb broadcast. For first hour, I'm just kind of winging it. I'm going to try to get back with topics coming for the fall and winter. But summer, I try to show up at least every other week to show up and let you know I'm alive, I guess. Just too hot in the studio. That's one thing. But it's cooling down a little bit. Thank God for that. Okay, let's take a look at, that was one thing. Let's see. Oh, yes, my mail moved. There it is. Let's see what else we got. Let's see, this from the Christian Post. 10,000 make decisions for Christ at Greg Laurie's Southern California Harvest amid billboard controversy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that guy, Greg Laurie. He was a Calvary Chapel pastor. Remember Chuck Smith? Chuck Smith. I think he passed away. He was the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement back when, and Greg Laurie was one of the pastors that sprung out of that church, and he does this thing, Southern California Harvest, every year down there. So 100,000 people showed up, and 10,000 made a decision for Christ. And hopefully that all 100,000 of those are the elect, and hopefully some of the other 100,000 that showed up are part of the elect too. But it, when the gospel's being preached, and you know, they may be futurists, but I do believe that they do preach a genuine gospel. Their method of preaching is they go through the Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. So most of the time, people are getting the true Word over there at the Calvary Chapel, and they're not into that emerging church and all that magic stuff like the New Apostolic Reformation. So, you know, more power to Greg Laurie and what he's doing down there. So, anyway, that's in Southern. And there was this big flap over this billboard that he had. Let's see. And it should probably have something. Probably, oh, here it is. I think this is the billboard here. Oh, yes, the people got offended because Greg Laurie's in the billboard, as you can see here. And he's holding up a Bible. And so enough people complained to the billboard company that they pulled it down. I hope they didn't charge him. But, I mean, people are so offended by the Bible. Yeah. So he says, how many of you brought a Bible with you tonight? Grab your Bible, hold it up. And so we're not ashamed of the Word of God. So anyway, unfortunately, those Calvary Chapel guys are all futurists. I sent them all a copy of my book. Which book is that one? Oh, yeah, this one here, When the Third Temple is Built. So, you know, if you haven't read it, you should read it. But I wrote it for people like these Calvary Chapel people and other futurists. So you should pass that around if you have a copy of it or get a copy of it. It's really cheap. You know, subscribe to my website. And every occasionally, a couple times a month, the printer has a 10% plus free shipping thing. So you can order a bunch then. And if you really want to order bulk, say you want to get 20 of these or 100 or 50 or whatever of these to sell, just let me know and I'll get them to you at my price. I'll have them shipped to you because I'll take advantage of the 10% off and free shipping and get them at the author's price, which is, I don't know, it's like $2 a piece or whatever, something, $2.50 a piece, I don't know, something like that. I don't know exactly, but you get the idea. Okay, so anyway, that was the Greg Laurie thing. My if you look at the camera and you see my face, see how messed up my camera is. I don't know, I got it. That's a new camera. But I set it all up and then I go to get on the air and then it's blacked out. I go, what? I guess I'm going to have to put the old camera back in. Didn't have these problems with it. Okay, next article. That was that one. Let's see. Oh, I like this one. This one's funny if you like funny stuff. This is Paddy Power mocks Catholic Church with drive-through confession. Yeah, check this one out. Yeah, I like that. Oh, there's a pop-up right as soon as I put it on the screen. But anyway, there you see it. This is a repent decades of sins in second. Paddy Power. So this guy set up a booth and so you can drive right through the confessional. Drive-through confession. It comes as a survey reveals more than a quarter of Irish people haven't attended confession in a decade or more. Okay? Bad, bad Catholics, you. Almost 80% said they do not go at least once a month. I do not go at least once a month. What? 80% said they do not go at least once a month. Hey, I do not go at least 100 times a month. Yes, I haven't been to a Catholic church since I was a teenager. Yeah. Let's see. The 12-meter-high structure allows cars to drive through an express lane to eternal salvation. Spokesman says Ireland has changed a lot since the last Pope's visit. Gay marriage is legal now. Yeah, I just did that. We repealed the Eighth Amendment. Even a society cheered for England. Even secretly cheered for England in the World Cup. With decades worth of sins clocked up since then, we're providing a convenient means to complete your contrition with your eyes still in the ignition. If the Catholic hierarchy have anything they'd like to get off their chest too, they are more than welcome to take a spin through our mega drive-through confession box while they're here. The publicity stunt comes as 500,000 are expected to gather this weekend for a mass in Dublin's Phoenix Park. And, yeah, that's right. The Pope is visiting, something like that. But, yeah, that's great. Here you go. Your drive-through confessional. Yeah. Paddy Power mocks the Catholic Church. Huh? Anyway, there you go. That's, thank you for that, Michael. Let's see what else he sent me. Yeah, we gotta have some fun sometime, right? Let's see, Israel news, nothing new in the Temple Mount. Here's the latest on the Temple Mount, he says. Let's check it out. And, yeah, don't know exactly what we got here. Will Supreme Court petition end discrimination on the Temple Mount? Okay, well, yes, that's the Israel Supreme Court. And, well, I hope they do, you know, so that the Jews can go up there where the Dome of the Rock is and pray. Hey, really, could you stop people from praying? But, yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens there, as if we're all really excited about that one. Okay. And I think that's all I got from Michael. Anybody else got any news items they'd like to share in the chat room? I'll check that out in a minute and see if we get there. So not really a whole lot going on. Kind of a dead summer for news. That's another reason why, besides the heat and needing a break, you know, sometimes it's just, because I've been working really hard. Let's see, where did it go? Ah, here it is. Just finished our, Hoary Apocalypticae is a 4-volume set. As you can see, this is a hardcover that we've republished here. And as an appendix to it, we have the History of Apocalyptic Interpretation, which we're going through in the second hour. So we got the Reformation Quincentennial Edition ready and published. So look for that. Anyway, we'll be back in a few more minutes with some more news and stuff.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition, our final summer edition before we go into the September, end of the year, and looking forward to the cooler weather and some outdoor celebrations and enjoying the outdoors once again without sweating it too much. Okay, let's see. We looked at all of those articles from Brother Michael there. Let me check the chat room, see if we got any ideas over there. Okay, and studio first half, the first hour had good audio. Thank you for that. At least we got a good, Jesuit Pope is under attack, many calling for Oh, yeah, the sexual abuse thing. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much in the news. Someone sent me a bad link in the chat room there. Here's what we think you, okay, here it is. There it is. Pope Francis is facing calls to resign. Sexual abuse scandal exposes rifts in the Vatican. So, stop. No. I hate that. That's a whatever. They start playing commercials immediately. I'd rather read the article than watch it on Fox. Anyway, the Catholic Church is reeling after grand jury report in Pennsylvania found that possibly more than 1,000 children in six dioceses had been sexually abused by about 300 priests or higher ranking officials. You know, this, you know, seeing something like this gives me a little more hope for America that we can actually out the Catholic Church here, that, you know, they don't have 100% control of everything, because believe me, they would not want that story to come out at all. They've been hiding these stories for many years. And, you know, this just only proves one thing. The Catholic Church ignores God's word. To be in authority in the church, to be an elder or a pastor or any of the offices available for the church, because remember, priests were from the old order, the Levitical priesthood. We don't have a new priesthood. We are all priests, and every man is the priest of his own household. If he has a household, he would be the high priest of his own household. But we are all kings and priests. So the Catholic Church, having fathers, the priests they call fathers, they violate the scripture on two counts right there. And then, you know, the outright qualification in the church is that, you know, that leaders in the church, pastors, elders, church leaders need to be married and they need to have their house in order. That's right. They need to be able to rule their own house with a godly rule, orderly rule. You know, and we're talking about the law of Christ ruling that household through the man. And these so-called priests of this Catholic cult, that's totally unscriptural. So we see that brings about this huge problem. They got all these men that are men. Yeah, they are men. And they're not married. They have sexual drives and they can't do anything with them except, victimize children and women that come into their confessional or that they have control over otherwise. So, you know, it's a natural thing. So we are men. We're real people. We have a real grasp of how the world works and how God has even created man, that we don't set men, people up to fail like the Catholic Church. They set men up to fail. The whole thing is corrupt to the very root. Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Absolutely not. As you can see, this corrupt tree is still bringing forth corrupt fruit. So we're not surprised. So we're, you know, as long as they continue, as long as they don't allow their priests or pastors to marry, you know, and they have their reasons for doing that. Yeah, because priests or pastors with families need money. You know, they can't sacrifice everything and give it to the big Catholic organization, you know, that Nicolaitan structure that's overarching the entire so-called Roman Catholic world. It's a very hungry machine. Yeah. The rule in the world costs a lot of money, so you have to get everyone to sacrifice as much as possible. Plus, they have their slave labor camps and all these monasteries and nunneries. And they were more slave labor camps in the past. You could research into that. And plus, Charles Ferris at CFF in the chat room. Is he in there today? Yeah, he sent me an article. Copy. There we go. But anyway, this is it here. Keep going down. We saw nuns kill children, the ghosts of St. Joseph's Catholic Orphanage. You've heard Greg Anthony speak about these things when he's not being deluded by the flat earth idiots out there. He hits on some pretty good stuff. But anyway, it's got this article here. But millions of children were placed in orphanages. Some didn't make it out alive. You know, and I can identify with this. I was an orphan and placed in a Catholic boys' home near Clinton, Michigan, out in the country. And all these brothers, fathers, whatever you want to call them, they ran the thing. Now, none of these things happened to me because we were all teenagers mostly. You know, teenage boys. And but just reading about this is horrific. And there might have been things going on there I didn't know about. Fortunately, I wasn't there very long. But anyway, I'll link in the chat room. You can check that out. But a really horrific story. Wow, Inland Hills pastor dies of suicide after battling depression and anxiety. Now, you know, a lot of people are taking these. They go to doctors, and they feel a little depressed. You know, everyone has to deal with depression sometime in their life. Now, I've got my way of dealing with it. I usually sleep a lot. That's, you know, just whatever. That's the way I deal if I'm feeling depressed. And we all go through these periods in our life. But, you know, the biggest mistake you could make, like I said, I haven't seen a doctor for my health since I was 25 years old. And that's because I had a nasal infection. And that was the only way I could get antibiotics was to go see a doctor. So I went to a doctor and said, I need antibiotics. He said, well, yeah, you do. You have a nasal infection and you need antibiotics, so here you go. So I had to pay for that because they outlaw going and buying antibiotics over the counter. They just outlawed buying antibiotics for your animals too in California as of January 1st. Fortunately, I had some left over from last year because one of my goats got mangled up here and I had to treat it at home and administer antibiotics that are good till 2019, another year. But I guess I have to order from out of state now. Or maybe I have to have someone order from out of state, have them sent to somebody out of state, and then have them send them to me. Because California, you know, big veterinary lobby up here, if your animal gets sick and you need antibiotics, well, they want you to pay them $150. So you can buy, you know, $5 worth of antibiotics. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's crazy, but that's the way it goes. Less and less liberty all the time. Okay, let's see. So anyway, probably the guy was on, if I click on this story, it says tragic. That is tragic, a pastor committing suicide. I mean, what does that say about his Christianity? I mean, and what about the health of his flock? It's got to be a terrible thing for them to go through. But probably went to a doctor, you know, feeling depressed like we all should sometime in our life. And going to a doctor's a big mistake because they have drugs that one of the side effects is, guess what? Suicide. Good. It makes absolutely no sense at all. And then all of these children that go to school and start shooting their in the public schools, shooting the teachers and other students, so we'd find out they're all in these same drugs. Yeah. Battling depression and anxiety. Now, I've had anxiety and I've had depression. They kind of go together. You're going through some really hard trials in your life. You can experience anxiety. And I remember thinking when I was going through periods of anxiety in my life, I mean, where it was really, you know, the weight was really heavy on me. And I was just thinking, you know what? Jesus felt 100 times the weight of any anxiety I could ever feel. I mean, imagine him sweating blood there in the Garden of Gethsemane. The weight and the anxiety that was upon him And, you know, then you begin to understand when you feel that kind of anxiety. You begin to understand that, man, my anxiety that I'm going through is nothing compared to what Jesus went through. I mean, I had not sweat blood yet, okay? So, and we have to remember, by faith, we know that God is not going to lay more on us than we can handle. And if the only way I could handle it was going and laying down and trying to fall asleep and forget the world, hey, that worked for me. Drugs certainly aren't the answer, okay? And especially these darn godless witch doctors out there. But I'll bet you if I checked into this article here, we would find out that this pastor says he was battling depression and anxiety, probably went, a 30-year-old pastor, yeah. Died by suicide, according to the Christian Post. And what's a 30-year-old being a pastor? It's not. Let's see. Announcement posted to Facebook by the church on Sunday said Inland Hills Church grieves with heavy hearts as our lead pastor, Andrew Stockland, was welcomed into heaven on Saturday night after battling depression and anxiety. It's not the outcome we hoped and prayed for. Really? You had to write that? And today we grieve as a church family. Yeah, this announcement went on to say, in his time leading, Andrew reached so many with his warm wit, passion, heart for God, teaching always, pointed others to Jesus. Loving husband, father, friend, that he will continue to inspire us. He was only recently returned to preaching after taking a 4-month summer sabbatical to get better. Well, it didn't work, did it? I say it's not easy to be a pastor's wife, well, especially, yeah, under those circumstances. She sees all behind the scenes. Okay, they're not giving any details about whether he went to a doctor and started taking drugs or not. But, you know, the thing is, I know some of the pastors here in town, and I know they get on these salaries. Like, I know one in a certain Baptist church here in town, and he has $100,000 benefit package from the church. $30,000 of that is for health care benefits. Yeah. And so he goes to see a doctor about everything. Just a young guy, you know, too. He might like be 42 right now, around 40, between 40 to 45. But he sees a doctor for everything. He's got complaints all the time. The more he sees a doctor, the more he has to complain about it. It just blows my mind. Now, I have to admit, and I say I haven't seen a doctor since I was 25, and that's true. So that's, and I'm 65 this year. That's 40 years without seeing a doctor, and before that, I didn't see one from the time I was a child. That hasn't always been easy. I've got sick, and, you know, I've weathered the storms of sickness and different things that have happened, and I researched, did the best I could to cope with it. I've lived with chronic pain for years. Phantom pain, really, because I injured my knee when I was younger, and so I think it did some nerve damage there, and I lived with phantom pain for many years until I think God healed me of that one night, just, you know, after my practically begging him for years to take that pain away from me, I guess. And I don't know, it's hard living with pain, and a lot of people live with pain, but I'm glad I didn't run off to the doctors. And I mean, they could have cut my knee out and put a titanium knee in there, and then I could go back every 7 to 10 years to have a new one put in and watch my health decline because of all the drugs and stuff that they're giving me, and I'd probably be dead now if I hadn't just, you know, got through it and said, okay, you know, if Jesus was matured through suffering, how much more do I need to be matured through suffering? And God used that, and you know, I still have pain occasionally. The knee injury is still there. I just don't have the chronic pain anymore. I can still twist it the wrong way. It'll get inflamed, and I might limp for a few days or something until I take it easy and let the let it heal enough where there's no inflammation. So that's life. That's part of life. We just learn to live with those things the best we can, you know. But I think people in this whole healthcare scheme or scam, I call it, because it used to be able to go to a doctor and it cost you $50 to go in and visit a doctor, and not $100 or $500, $200. I mean, I got an appointment to go see a dentist for a specialist because I lost a tooth. Thinking about getting an implant. It's just $219 to probably go in there and visit the doctor for 15 minutes while he evaluates me for an implant. Well, then, I don't know, this implant's probably going to cost me $5,000. I don't have the money, but, you know, if I want to keep chewing on that side and without losing more teeth because I'm not chewing on that side, then, you know, I got to do that. But it's just so expensive because of insurance. That's what I think. Because I think if everyone had to pay, you know, when they go in and pay out of their own pocket, I don't think these prices would be exorbitant like they are. Hey, this is my way of thinking. Yeah. I think if everyone had to pay like I have to pay when you go in there. And so, you know, if I can afford it when I go see this dentist and get this implant so I can begin, I don't want to lose my bottom teeth because I'm not chewing on them. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of how it works. You use it or lose it. That's kind of the thing. So I got to do something there so I can use those teeth and be nice to be able to chew on this side. I just lost a tooth there in the top. And that was because I lost one next to it but didn't realize that if you lose a tooth, that it kind of spreads. you lose bone, and then that's the way it works. And I was just thinking, man, Father, it would have been great if you could have designed a third set of teeth in, you know, one that kicks in when you're about 40 or 50 years old. That would be great. I get any amens out there in the audience on that one? Yeah. Anyway, that's my trial in life right now. Thank God. That's all the trials I have at this time is how I'm going to pay for another tooth. So I can keep chewing for till I'm 104 when Jesus comes, right? So I can keep going for another 40 years. Because I'm not collecting socialist security. That's against God's law to be a socialist. You know, at least for me it is. Yeah, for me it is. He may give a little grace and dispensation to others out there, but I can only speak for myself. I cannot go out. That would blow everybody's mind if I came in here and go, you know, I decided that because God's not taking care of me and my giving is down this year, that it's probably God's way of telling me to go out and sign up for Social Security. Anybody buying that? God can't take care of me? Really? What kind of faith is that? I might as well go out and, you know, do something else. Yeah. I mean, I could collect a lot, make a lot more money just on Social Security, probably. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah, Wacky says, amen, I need crowns. Just think I'm getting crowned. Yeah, I got a crown on the other side. Yeah. And those only, they only last so long. So I've already had it re-glued in like three or four times. Dennis told me, he says, next time it falls out, we're going to have to do something else. Oh, okay. Well, let me get the other side fixed. So I'll have something to chew on in the meantime. Yeah, dental bills are insane. I heard I can go down to Mexico and for $10,000 I can get a whole new set of teeth. They put, I guess, all on four or six on uppers and lowers, depending on your jaw. They put all new teeth in. Yeah, how about that? But fortunately, I don't need all new teeth. Most of my teeth are still working. They're not as nice as they were when I was a teenager, but they still work, thank God, except for the ones that aren't there. They're not working anymore. They've been retired. Yeah. Anyway. That's life. That's the way it works. Okay, hey, this has been fun, just talking with y'all. And looking forward to another year here at First Amendment Radio and Cross the Border with y'all. Now, next hour, we're going to jump into History of Apocalyptic Interpretation by E.B. Eliot. And I think we got to page 164, which is really 170-something in my new edition. I guess I formatted it differently in my Reformation, that's what it says here, Reformation Quincentennial Edition. But it's pretty much, except for typo errors and trying to make it a little easier to read, some of the antiquated text there, or grammar issues that E.B. Eliot had, because he wrote it, he just wrote it for the appendix. So, but it's a great reading, as you know, as we've been going through it, and I suggest everyone go through it with me or get the book yourself and read it, and that way you get this circumspect view of the history of apocalyptic interpretation. It will affect the way you think about Bible prophecy, the revelation, and the scripture as a whole. Okay, but so stick around for that. May the Almighty bless you and keep each and every one of you as you continue in His kingdom, walking on the narrow way that leads to life, one day at a time.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.